It's really good to be here. I'm laughing at the picture that's up there. It's taken a few years ago. That boy is a lot taller than me now. But I'm laughing especially because yesterday all these ladies at the retreat, which was a great retreat, I really enjoyed being there, they were all talking about the Boise State football game that was happening, and my t-shirt is the Saskatchewan Rough Rider t-shirt. I'm a football fan too, but up in Canada, because I'm from Canada. And the reason I know Brian and Kathy is because they were students when I was a little girl, and my dad was a teacher at the Bible college up there. So. But I'm so thankful, and I told the ladies this yesterday too, that I'm so thankful that you are a praying church. And it was obvious even just this morning, you know, that you had all these prayer requests and concerns for others. And prayer is so vital in the Christian life, right? We could not get, just like that song said, we're lost without the Lord. And we need to be in prayer for each other and for others around the world. And I'm really thankful that you're a church that is a praying church and a supporting church. And I want to thank you very much for the support you've given me so many years. The last time I was here in this church was in 2015, so that's 9 years ago. And yeah, I just haven't made my way down to this area, but thank you so much for your faithful support and interest, and just really encouraging to have that support. So I'm going to show you a few pictures from where I live in Tarija, Bolivia. I'm with the Evangelical Free Church of Canada Mission, and I work in a ministry called Candelero Kids. And you might be wondering, why are there arrows there? But I want to talk about some verses that, one verses or two verses, are really familiar, and I know, but another verse that God showed me last year, it just kind of jumped out at me from 2 Thessalonians. But I'm pretty sure most of us could recite from memory Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And we need direction, right? It says there, in all your ways acknowledge him. Not just when you think you've done this for so many years or whatever, and you think you know how to do things. No, every day we need his direction in our lives. And I think that's something that I would encourage you to pray for as you pray for your lives and as you pray for missionaries, because we always need direction. The world is changing, things happen, and we need God's help as we serve him. So arrows point us in the right way. And I was thinking, last weekend I had the privilege of fishing for the very first time in my life with my brother. And I was thinking, there was no way I would have caught eight trout if it wasn't for my brother's direction. Like, we need people to direct us. I had no idea how to fish. I've never done that before. But so much more in our lives, we need somebody to direct us, and who better than the Lord, right? We need to trust him and ask him for his direction each day. And, okay, see if I can do this. So the verse in 2 Thessalonians that has meant a lot to me is this verse up here that says, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. And it just spoke to me, wow, if we're being directed in our own way of thinking, we're not going to have his love in our heart. And how many times have I failed because I haven't let his love be the first thought in my mouth or in my mind, right? I need his direction as I work with kids. And we all need his direction in whatever God's placed us to do. So that verse is a verse that I long to be what my life verse is, really, that he would always be directing my heart by his love. Because without love, it says in 1 Corinthians, right, without love, we are nothing. And we can have all these ministries, we can meet lots of people, but if we don't have God's love in our lives, nothing is going to happen. And so may that always be our desire. And then the steadfastness of Christ, I was thinking, Jesus wants us to be obedient, and obedient to whatever he has planned out for us. And sometimes maybe that's not our plan, but he wants us to be obedient. And obviously that's something we try to encourage our kids to be as well, is to be obedient and to love the Lord. So I live in Tarija, Bolivia, which is in the southernmost part of Bolivia. It's not a really big city, but it's around 300,000 people, I guess, but it doesn't feel like it because there's so many people living in one house. And it's a beautiful city. There's mountains, there's a lot of vineyards, there's lakes and rivers. It's a really pretty part of Bolivia, and it's not the hottest part either. In the winter, which is reverse from here, we do have cold temperatures. It gets below freezing at times. We don't have heat in the house, so you feel it. It did snow 5 years ago. I didn't put a snow picture here, but we love Tarija. So many people do. It's a great place, but a very dark place as well, because the people there are so traditionally Catholic. They have their traditions. Even in August and September, they have this group that's called the Chunchos. They dress up kind of like lepers. They cover their faces. They're men that dance through the streets, and there's like around 3,000 of them, seriously, and some of them are little boys. And they do this every year to supposedly gain prosperity and health. And it's just sad that people are stuck in these traditions and think that this is going to get them somewhere, believe in these saints and virgins. And so we're in a dark place, but we desire to be a light. And that's why we chose to name our ministry Candelero Kids. Candelero, I wonder if anybody knows what it means. It's a candlestick. Okay, so we're a candlestick for these kids. And it started out of a ministry. We had a coffee house ministry called El Candelero Cafe, and we desire to be a light to all these people in Tarija who are bound by addictions. There's lots of addictions there, and bound by the traditions of their Catholic beliefs. So this is a picture of some of the boys from our boys' home. Our boys' home is located 25 minutes out of the city, and in a place called Gerjawaik was the town, in Guadalquivir. And I'm the director of this ministry and the director of the support center. So this was a graduation from last year. And we used to have 14 boys in our home. These are boys that have been abandoned by their families for different reasons. Some have lived on the street. Some have lived in other places, but their parents were exploiting them so much that the authorities gave us opportunities to help them. So this is Robert's graduation from last year from high school. We like to hike with our kids, take them different places. Like I said, there's lots of places right around Tarija, and I know you can't maybe see everybody really well, but the man in front, he and his wife are the house parents at our boys' home. These are two boys that our desire for our kids is that they would be able to graduate from high school, but then also get some training. So we have built another home right beside our home, another building, so that the boys who are older can live there and stay with us so that it's legal, and that that they can get some training, because what are they going to do when they get out of high school? So these two boys, Robert and Isaac, are there taking chef school. Obviously, boys all over the world like soccer, and been to lots of soccer games. I'm a hockey fan, but... But this is soccer country, obviously. And this is a picture inside our home. Our home was built in 2012. Before that, in 2011, when we started our boys' home ministry, we were renting a small place in another area outside of the city. And then some Swedish friends gave us a big lot, which is over 5,000 square meters, whatever that is in yards. And so we were able to build a home there. And these are some of the boys. This was last Christmas. So Marcelo and his wife and the little girl that they're adopting is in the front. And those are some of the boys that we've had. We had 14 before, and some have graduated. Some have left the home. Some escaped, sadly. But there's another picture of us hiking just this past year, pretty close to our boys' home. We grow potatoes and corn. We have an area where we can grow that, and so we make something called umintas, and you put them in the corn husks, and so we were grinding up the corn for that. So that's part of the ministry of Candelero Kids, is working with the boys' home, but this is the other part, which is a support center where boys and girls can go. In our boys' home, it's only boys, and here there's girls and boys from age 7 to age 18. And they come during the day, Monday to Friday. to have Bible classes with us, and we teach them the Bible in different ways, too. They have to read part of it and give a summary of what they've learned, and then we have Bible classes for the different ages. We help them with their homework, we play games with them, and they eat there. And these kids are also from homes that are very dysfunctional. Most of them have had either their mom or dad or both in jail for different reasons, lots of alcoholism, just lots of sad stories. And so we're able to help them. And we used to have about 29 kids coming. Right now there's around 21 that come each day. And they have either school in the morning or in the afternoon. So depending on when they go to school, that's at the other time, that's when they come. So it's open from 8:30 to 4:30. And like I said, we have Bible classes. So this is Sonia, one of our workers, giving a Bible lesson at Christmas time. This little boy, his name is Dylan. Really sweet little boy. And I wanted to put this picture in here because I bought this book and it talked about the light and dark. And he was reading it to me. He's just learning how to read. And he was like, wow, this is when, and he was remembering things that he had learned from the Bible. And this was when God took them out of Adam and Eve, out of the garden. And it's a really good book. And it was encouraging to hear how he was learning. Here's some of the girls playing games and having fun there. And we do outings with the kids. There's a big dam close by, and so a lot of times we take them different places to have other activities with them. We have camps with them at times, or at least day camps, to get them out of our support center as well. Oops. This was one of the outings we had. We had a treasure hunt in July. July is their winter break from school, and they put different verses in different places in this park, and they had to find the treasure at the end according to the verse, using a clue from each verse. These are some of my staff, not all of them, but our cook is on the, which way? On the far left, I guess it would be, and then the other ones work with me as well. So I want to praise the Lord, as it says here, for his goodness and the many ways in which he has shown us his love and has healed hearts and relationships. The kids that we work with have come from really hard situations, and I'll tell you a little bit about some of them. We don't have time to talk about all of them, but I want you to get to know a few of them. But just as you expressed here this morning, that God is good, he's great, we sang songs about that. We have a God who is working all over the world, and we can definitely always say that he never fails. And I truly believe that, even though some things don't go very well, and I'll share that in a bit, but we know that we can trust him for his plan. This is inside our boys' home. This is inside our dining area. And this picture is really special to me because a lot of the boys that are in this picture are boys who left our home either because they didn't want to be there anymore or because they had grown up. One of them ran away because he got one of his girlfriend pregnant, and he ran away because he was scared. Came back, not to our home, but we've had relationship with him again. That relationship healed. Some others are there right now in this picture with their girlfriends. Some are following the Lord, some aren't, but we're thankful for each one and thankful that we still have that relationship with them, even though sometimes maybe we don't agree with everything they do. But that's like a family, right? And we are like a family, and I'm just thankful for each of them. The boy on the right, I want to say this. We are imperfect people serving imperfect people. And we definitely had our moments. That boy is named Ronaldo, and myself. There were times we didn't understand each other a lot, and it's been interesting, but I'm so thankful in the last 2 years our relationship has healed so much. And he's one of the boys who writes me quite often and tells me what's going on since I came back to Canada in August. And I'm just really thankful for how God heals relationships, because sometimes there are situations, right, that cause relationships to be kind of strained. I want to tell you a story about Brian, our Brian, not your Brian. He grew up in a home where his mom left him when he was 4 years old, and his dad worked as a construction worker, and he fell and hit his head very badly, so he's not always really thinking well. And so he often slept with his two sons out on the street. Sometimes he helped them, sometimes he didn't. And Brian was living in another home because his dad had left him for a while. And in this home, he was learning about Mormonism. And he was 14 years old when we found out about him. The social services talked to us about this boy and that he needed a home because his dad would come and go. His dad was in Brazil at that time, and he wasn't being helped, and these people didn't want him anymore, even though they wanted him to be a Mormon. So he came to us in November of 2019, and he told us right off the bat, I'm a Mormon, and next year I'm going to be baptized as a Mormon. And we're like, oh, okay, we'll see about that. And we, you know, gradually talked to him about the Lord, took him to our church, and just befriended him, loved on him. He's a very quiet boy. And when he came to us, he was 14 years old, but he was only in grade 3. And that's because his dad didn't care. And there's a lot of families like that, unfortunately, where they don't care about their kids, and so they don't put them in school. So little by little, he was learning. He had to learn how to read because he didn't really even know how to read very well. He had some moments where he was very frustrated and just cried and cried, but God's worked in his life in a huge way. And there's a church in Cochabamba, in another part, where a pastor takes teenagers and young people to another part of Bolivia to tell them about the Lord. And before that happened, Brian gave his life to the Lord. And then he's gone three times, I think, to this other community. And they do kids camps during the summer months, and he loves it. And he's someone who God has totally transformed. So last year at our church camp that we have during the carnival time, he didn't even tell me before, but he said to me one day, Hermana Heather, I want to get baptized. And he was the only one at the camp that got baptized, but that was his desire. And it was so encouraging to see how God changed his heart from thinking falsely to understanding the truth, and then telling everyone, you know, by his obedience that he wanted to be baptized, and there he is being baptized. So he's someone that God has totally transformed and continues to do so. And one of his good friends is Josue, and Josue now is in Bible college, and he's one of our kids, and here he is. He came to us when he was 12, and his mom had abandoned him when he was a year old, and he lived with a dad who was very weak emotionally. He would cry all the time, and his grandparents, and they didn't want him, and so we were able to help him, and he stayed with us, and he grew and grew, and he's a young man who loves to speak. And when he graduated from high school 2 years ago, I thought, boy, he should do something with his voice because he loves to, and he doesn't have fear or anything about speaking in front of people. And so, and he'd often do puppet shows and just, you know, he's just a really nice young man, and he loves kids. And so, he decided, because he also likes cars very much, that he was going to study to be a mechanic. And our kids go to a school that's a technical school. And so if they want to learn mechanics, they can as well. So he had already had a head start on that. So he studied half a year, and then he decided, no, I don't want to do this. And at first I was like, oh, the expense of helping you. But the good thing was that he wanted to go to Bible college. And so he did. He started Bible college last year. He came back in January just for a bit. Actually, he helped pastor a church, even though he was so young, out in a village, like out in the campo. And then he came to our home and he would share devotionals with us. And this was a bonfire where he shared a devotional with us. And it's so encouraging to me, but sad to say, his dad, who doesn't have a relationship with him very much, and his aunt, who wanted to control his life, they've totally rejected him now that he has said, no, I'm going to continue on in Bible college. I want to be a pastor. And so he's someone I'm very thankful for. God has really worked in his life, and he needs prayer as well because it's not easy for him. He's our most sensitive boy. A lot of teenage boys won't cry, right? I don't know if you've experienced that or not, but he's one who would definitely show his heart and his emotions. But thank the Lord, he's doing really well. And I got to see him in July in Cochabamba because I had to go there for a funeral. And I'm so thankful. We're all so thankful that he's doing so well and studying hard so that he can be a servant for the Lord. This says here, Alcides, our extra boy, was baptized at our church outing this year. And he's standing beside me in this picture. There we go. Alcides is one of the boys that went to high school with our boys in the town close to where we have our boys' home. And he's in the brown shirt there. And he's a boy that would often come to our home. We have a cement pad where they can play soccer. And he would just come and visit, and he loved being with our boys. And then he started coming to our church, which was great. And his family's not interested, but he started coming. Well, this past May, he wanted to be baptized, and he was baptized at our outing. And that's what God's work has done through our kids as well, and also the house parents, a little bit of me, but to encourage this young guy to give his life to the Lord, and they were a huge witness to him, and now he's baptized, and we're really thankful for him. So those are some of the praises, and these are some of the people that I would really ask prayer for. Jaime, he needs direction. We were talking about direction. I need direction with this clicker. Jaime, unfortunately, was born in a very awful situation. His mom was raped, and she was a lady who doesn't have all her mental faculties. And she was raped by an older man, and she didn't want him. And so he lived with his great-grandma, then he lived with his grandma, then he lived with his aunts and uncles who didn't want him. And he escaped, actually, from that place in Chuquisaca, which is a ways away from Tarija. It's a different department. And the authorities told us about him, and so we accepted him. And it's been really neat to see how God has changed his life, because he loves the Lord, too. And he's someone who asks a lot of questions. He reads the Bible. We encourage the other boys to read the Bible, but he's one that is very faithful in doing it. But he needs direction, because he's never sure what he wants to do. And he even told me once, oh, I was born in June, and that's why I change my mind all the time. And I was like, what does June have to do with it? Was his excuse, I guess. But he decided that he was going to join the military in July. And so he started in July, and I visited him 2 weeks later, and he was like, I don't like it here. I don't want to be here. And I've talked to the commander or whatever, and said that I want to leave. And while he's still there, he's had some health problems, but he's just a young guy. He's 21 years old who doesn't know what he wants to do in life. And really appreciate prayer for direction for this boy, who obviously we don't want to just let him go, because what's going to happen in his life? But he always has these big ideas, and then but he doesn't know how to fulfill them. So I'd appreciate prayer for Jaime. And for us as well, as we try to encourage him and that we'd have wisdom to help him. And this says, Alvaro's healing and direction for where he will be in the future. Alvaro is our special needs boy that came to us when he was 9, and he's 21 now. And he's a young guy who loves to help. He can do a lot of things. He doesn't speak clearly. When he came to us, he could barely walk because he was imitating his mom, who lived on the street with him and beat him, and his stepdad beat him. But he could barely walk because he has a hip condition, but he would walk and imitate his mom, who also is crippled. and but he's not as crippled as her. But now he can walk, he can speak, sort of, but he has a very interesting way of being, and he's learning a lot of things, but he is hard to handle. And 10 days before, no, the week before I came back to Canada in August, I left Bolivia on August 7th, he was very disobedient. He was supposed to pick up the garbage around our home, and it was during a time when there was a strike, which happens quite often in Bolivia, and so there were roadblocks, and Marcelo and Mirta had gone to pick up some food, and they had to go a long way around because there were roadblocks. Anyway, instead of picking up the garbage, he did that, and then he started a fire. And the fire spread to our neighbors and burned their cow feed, burned their firewood. It was just awful. And the other boys were there at that time, thankfully, and so they helped put it out, but it took them like 3 hours to put it out. Marcelo got back, and he helped too. And so obviously we had to pay for what happened, and he had some money from the government, so the government, like, that came out of his money. But when I said this thing for me, I think, was when I tried to talk to him when I got there, and he would run away from me. He didn't want to talk to me, and I would ask him, not in a mean way, but I'd say, Alvaro, what happened? This fire, this isn't a good thing, and he'd say, no, nothing, and he'd run away. And then we talked to him, and we had to punish him, obviously, for this, and he was very mad at me for disciplining him. It's a hard situation, so he really needs prayer. If you think of it, please pray for Alvaro, who we don't know for sure what's going to happen in the future for him, because he can't stay at our home forever. And he needs a place to go, and he cannot go back to his family for sure. But he's a young guy who's often buried his clothes because he doesn't want to wash them. He just has a hard time thinking that he needs to be obedient. And so please pray for Alvaro. Then at our support center, which is our other ministry that I'm directing, we have a young guy named Robert who suffers big time from ADHD, and he causes lots of problems, and he needs the Lord's help. And since I've been gone, well, that's not a very clear picture of him, but he's up there on this rope thing with me. He has continues to cause problems, and it's hard for us to know if we should continue to have him at our support center, because he's just there to bug people and to not obey. But he was also one of the kids that we know whose mom abandoned him when he was a boy. And you often think that the father would abandon the kids, but we know so many kids who the mother has abandoned them. And so he's a young guy who's 14 years old who needs a lot of prayer as well. So Sonia, Giovanna, Damaris, Jose, Marlene, Marcelo, and Mirta are the ones that work with me, and we all need the Lord's direction as we serve him, and that we would serve with love. So if you can see us, there we are on our at a park. Those are some of us, and I'm really thankful that I can trust God to keep helping them while I'm here. I'm a kind of director that is not a director who sits in an office at all. I'm there with the kids and there with the boys at the home, helping whatever way I can with their schoolwork, with Bible classes. And but I'm really thankful that I have a good group that works with me. So I also need direction as a witness to Katia, Yamila, and Rafa, and their little boy as they deal with addiction. There's a lot of addiction, I'm sure, all over the world, and there is there in Tarija too. And this is one of my best friends, Katia, and her little boy, and had the opportunity to share Christ with her many times, and she has a bit of belief, but she has never made that decision for the Lord. And her little boy has learned to pray, and they're very special people to me. But she deals with a husband who is very unfaithful many times and suffers with addiction, and so she's someone I'm thankful for, the different friends that God has put in my life and given me an opportunity to witness to. And then Sergia and her family, and and the court case regarding her brother who was killed in a motorbike accident. I really appreciate prayer for her. The date of the court case is October 1st. It was supposed to be in September, and it was changed. And this is Sergio and her little boy, Liam. Her brother was kind of like the father of the home, and I've known their younger brothers and sisters because they used to come to our support center. But I've gotten to know Sergio really well the last 3 years, and she wasn't living for the Lord. And in April, her brother was killed in a motorbike accident, and she called me right away. I went there. It's the first time in my life that I've seen somebody dead on the street, and very hard. He was like a father to all of them, helping them out. They have so little money. And the court case is because the driver of the other car was at fault, and there needs to be some restitution and healing there. But one good thing that's happened because of this accident, Sergia is following the Lord. She's going to church 3 times a week. She realizes that she needs the Lord and to direct her life and to help her with her little boy. And the father of her little boy also died in a motorbike accident about 4 years ago. So she's had a lot of pain in her life, but she's looking in the right direction. But if you think of it, October 1st is the court case, and we're trusting God to work. And then the hardest thing that's happened in the life of my church down there, and our boys' home goes to the church that I go to as well, the boys from the home, is that Wilfredo, our former pastor, lost his wife, Cynthia, who was a good friend of mine too, on July 21st. They were getting ready for church in the morning, and she died of a heart attack. And they were our pastor for 16 years, a long time. And then a year and a half ago, they moved to Beni in the northern part of Bolivia and to serve in a church there. And Cynthia and I texted all the time. We shared requests. She was a very good friend. And so some of us from our church in Tarija went to Cochabamba, which is a 15-hour bus ride, and went to her funeral. So this is the last picture that Cynthia had sent me of her family. Cynthia is the one with white hair. She was 50 years old when she died. And Wilfredo is her husband there. And Zoe is their daughter, who's 17, and Isha is 7. And they have another daughter, Jade, who is 20, who's not in this picture. But I'd really appreciate prayer for Wilfredo and his daughters as they seek God for direction. Because when we went to the funeral, he said to us, the ones that came from our church in Tarija, he said, I want to talk to you after the burial. And so when we talked to him, he just said, I feel so lost. I don't know what to do. And he's going to continue on with that church and maybe till the end of the year, but obviously without his wife by his side, who was such a big help to him, it's hard. And so I'd really appreciate prayer for this man and his family. It's something that they were not expecting, obviously, and so I'd appreciate prayer for them. This is also, you can't see it really well, but this is our boys' home. Out in the country where we were given this land. And I wanted to end with this picture because God has blessed us in so many ways, and we're so thankful to God for all that he's provided in all these years since we've started the boys' home, which we started in 2011. And it came out of our support center because we realized that we were helping these kids so often during the day, but where did they go at night? And so that's why we started the home. And the problem is that the government, even though we tried and worked on it for years, they never did want to give us the accreditation without us paying so much money that it wasn't right. So actually last year, when our youngest boy, Brian, who was baptized, that I talked about, when he turned 18, we had been praying, and I said, God, if you don't want us to continue on with this accreditation, process trying to get it, that when he turns 18, if they still haven't come back to do the inspection, because they'd come once in a while and then they'd leave it for 5 months or whatever, and we never knew when they were going to come, that would be the answer, that no. And he turned 18 in July. The next day I went to Santa Cruz to visit some people, and the day after his birthday, the authorities came to inspect. So there was our answer, right? He had just turned 18, he was of age, and so that's what they could tell them. So they couldn't shut us down because he was already 18, but we are no longer looking for the accreditation. So our goal is to have the boys, this means that we cannot take any younger kids anymore because the authorities won't let us. Some of the social services would love to have us, but the other authorities don't want us to have other boys, unfortunately. And it's just the way the government works at times. And so our goal is that the boys who are living there will be able to get further training in whatever they would like to. And so we'll probably have the boys open another 7 years because Brian, who was the one I was talking about, is only in grade 10 right now. So he has 2 more years with that, and then for him to be able to get some kind of training. We'll see how it goes, but we're trusting God to help us to know and to direct us in the future as well concerning the boys' home in these next 5 or 6, 7 years, and also in the support center. And just like here, I won't say a whole lot about the government in Bolivia, but just like here, prices are going sky high. It's hard to get gasoline. It's hard to get American dollars now in Bolivia. There's a lot of problems there with the government. So just like all over the world, where I'm from in Canada, it's no better. Each nation needs prayer and that God would protect them. So thanks for allowing me to share. And again, thank you so much for your support, for your prayers. And this is my prayer for you as well, as I shared before, that the Lord would direct our hearts, all of our hearts, to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ, that we'd be faithful to him and show our love to others, allowing him to direct us. Just like reading through the Bible, lately I was reading through Isaiah, and all of these prophets, all of these people who wrote in the Bible, they had to be directed by the Lord to know what to write. And we need to be directed by the Lord to know how to live for him wherever God's placed us. But we need to do it with his love in our hearts. Thank you.